This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And that is us for hour number two. Hour number one of our return flew by in a hurry. Dan Day, Larry Bluestein, powered by AutoNation up until 8 o'clock this evening. Thanks so much for all the guests in the first hour. Eric Henry talking FIU football. Hector Clavejo talking about Champagnat and the defending 2A state champions. And we wound hour number one up with Coach Bill Reichel, the head coach at St. Thomas University. Don't forget, every guest on this evening, you could check them out on demand on WQAM.com. And we're also talking about the high school football season each and every Friday, powered by AutoNation with Joe Rose at about 7:20 or so. So we're around the clock with you. So don't we give you a lot of opportunities to hear about college and high school football. We had talked, as we begin our second hour, we had talked about one of the programs that opted in a little bit early in Broward County, along with St. Thomas Aquinas, and that's Cardinal Gibbons, a team that a couple of years ago won the state championship, now a 4A team, and certainly a program that waited, just like everybody else, to get back on the football field, to condition, and now they're coming into the phase where they'll be practicing for the season ahead. And joining us is the head coach for the Chiefs, is head coach Matt DeBuck. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time this evening, for joining us. And certainly, as we heard from Coach Clavejo, all the precautions, everything has been put into place. So you guys obviously being as careful as you can with all phases of the practices. Talk about that so far.
Yeah, we obviously, it was a long off season, Larry. Thanks for having me. You and I have talked, you know, off the record here and there, but yeah, it was a long off season, and you know, we tried to go as long as we could with the FHSA on all those calls, and you know, move the date. And the Archdiocese of Miami gave us the go ahead with the protocols. So, you know, even though we were a BCA team, St. Thomas and I, we're not funded by the Broward County Athletic Association. So we decided to take a shot at this thing. And our athletic director, Mike Moore, is very involved with the pods and setting the groups up. And we're just following the rules and hoping and praying that everybody stays healthy and nobody gets sick so we can have a season of whatever that may look like.
You know, Coach, when you take a look at all the, you know, what we opened up the show, not maybe taking a shot at the FHSA, but kind of putting it all into perspective, how they kind of split this state in two with their decision making. Instead of having everybody being able to start at the same time and going for the same prize, you know, you're leaving a lot of quality teams. You're leaving a lot of kids who really needed that exposure to maybe only playing 4 and 5 games in the regular season before the playoffs start. I know you were extremely frustrated by that. A lot of other coaches were as well. You look at states like California, you look at Virginia, you look at Nevada, you look at Illinois, and these are all states that opted to do this together. Do you think that friction maybe will have some residuals down the, you know, in a couple years, maybe if not next year, with the teams who maybe felt like they got snubbed because they were in a bigger area?
Well, as a player, Larry, I got to play in a state championship. So state means the entire state. So I'm not looking for a county championship or a a regional championship. You want to win the state championship, and that to me is what it's all about. That's from the panhandle all the way down to Key West. So I would hate to see the state get split into three sections and all that, because I don't think that would be our state championship. I think it would cheapen it, and then I hear people say, oh, well, Broward County this, Broward County that. There were many years, Live Oak Swanee and teams like that were winning state championships, Key West. Broward and Dade have been definitely up the last 7 or 8 years, no question. But the pendulum swings both ways. So to cheapen it, I would think, yes, it would cheapen it. And quite frankly, think, playing a team, like North Marion was something these kids will never forget. Playing Bradford High School and still in our state, but it's in another county in the middle of the state. It's what we've evolved to in our state. Kids are going, they're playing in Tennessee. We had a game at Brentwood Academy that got canceled. We had a game against Tampa Jesuit that got canceled. I mean, we were trying to have our kids experience as much of the state as we can. So I hope it all comes back together and it doesn't get watered down and cheapened and stuff like that. I really do.
Yeah, no doubt. Matt DeBuck joining us. He's the head football coach at Cardinal Gibbons High School in Fort Lauderdale, just a couple of years removed from a state championship. You take a look at that, and as you said, you're going to look back at that state title for so many years and what it represented and the road that it took to get there and beating a Tampa Jesuit and beating, as you said, a North Marion for a
Orlando
state title.
Orlando Jones and Rockledge, and these were not easy games, and they weren't county games. So
right.
I respect everybody that we play, there's been some again, Broward and Dade have had a nice run, and hopefully we'll continue to have those runs. But there's quality programs all over the state of Florida, so I don't want to cheapen any of what those guys have done or will continue to do or have done.
Sure. And you take a look at the camaraderie that has been built through Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach with the coaches, with the players who, a lot of them may play with each other on 7-on-7 teams or against each other throughout the course of the year. So that kind of taken this region of the state and made it almost as one. And you look at the, a lot of coaches in Dade County from being able to play a Northwestern or being able to play a Central or a Miami South Ridge the way you have over the last couple of years. Talk about that, because I think that there's a lot to be said for that too, because there's a bond of the coaches between, in South Florida now that may not have existed 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, the best of Broward, best of Dade, we got to play in three in a row. We were going to play Columbus this year, which Cardinal Gibbons has never played Columbus, which would have been pretty cool. The unfortunate part of it is the recruiting aspect when kids leave programs that have been there for 2 or 3 years and they go across town. If people get their feelings hurt, and rightfully so. It is what it is. But, everybody's working hard to win a championship. And, if you're not in it, we teach so many lessons along the way. But if you're not in it to win, then you've forgotten one of the major lessons that football teaches, and that's perseverance and hard work and getting to – when things aren't going your way, and turn around and learn from your losses and still have an opportunity to win the following week. It's been a very frustrating time, but we'll see what this thing turns out to be. I don't know. Don't know. Seems like it's going well in places right now, and hopefully the numbers continue to drop, which they are, and the BCAA and Broward County will have what season they're looking for. But I just, we just decided, hey, listen, if there's an opportunity there, we got the go ahead from people that control us, that we owed it to our kids and our families that we participate.
No doubt. Before we let you go, when does your season start? When's your first game?
Schedule is still in, it's a living document, as they say. It's not done, but we're getting there. And we are playing Pace, Monsignor Pace at Cardinal Gibbons on October the 9th. Okay. So that's the only one I can really tell you at this point. Okay. But hopefully by the end of the week, we'll have an announcement with the rest of our schedule. And, I look forward to watching my friends coach that are at other schools when they get their opportunities, and I'll support them. And we haven't forgot them, even though we've started. We're not taking anything for granted, and we're just fortunate. That's the way I look at it. But I know they'll have their opportunities too.
Good stuff. Matt DeBuck, head coach at Cardinal Gibbons, thanks so much for taking the time this evening. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. Glad to be back.
Good stuff. Me too. As time obviously will go on, and we'll see what happens as Cardinal Gibbons, St. Thomas will be the first out of the gate, so to speak, of the larger schools in South Florida. But we're as excited as anybody to get this thing going. South Florida High School Sports Show, powered by Auto Nation. Auto Nation doesn't just sell cars and trucks for less, they also buy them for a lot more. Auto Nation will buy your car for cash. Appraisers will pay you top dollar for your vehicle online and in store. You'll get the check right on the spot. Doesn't that sound good? And you could deposit it right away. So why sell your car to anybody else? Turn your car into cash today at Auto Nation. And if you need services, like Auto Nation service techs, experts are always ready to help. Oil change, I had that done. Tires, batteries, collision repair, and more. Whatever service you need, Auto Nation tech experts can do it all, and all for less. Plus, they sanitize every vehicle serviced. Now, to me, that's worth the price of admission to come away there with a nice, clean car, not having to worry about anything, any germs or anything like that. To schedule a service, appraise your car, or for any Auto Nation store nearest you, visit AutoNation.com. We'll take this time out. We'll talk University of Miami football when we come back with Stefan Adams from Canes Insight. And back with you on a South Florida High School radio show for a Monday evening, powered by Auto Nation. Thanks so much to head coach Matt DeBuck from Cardinal Gibbons for joining us in our first segment of our second hour. Now we switch our attention to college football. The U, University of Miami, last week, opening last Thursday night with a win against UAB. And now all sights are turned to Saturday evening, when they will be playing a primetime game against Louisville. And Miami comes in ranked 17th, Louisville at 18th. And who would have thunk that you already have a second game out and you have a nationally televised contest? That's going to mean quite a bit. Joining us from Canes Insight, as he does throughout the course of the year, Stefan Adams. Stefan, thanks so much for joining us. Obviously, it's always good to have a W on the board, and obviously because of the fact that how much time went by since this team really had any type of contact. Thanks so much for joining us, and what'd you think about that opening game?
It was a little bit slow to start. I mean, I think if you watch the game, maybe in that first half, you were getting a little nervous there. But eventually you saw that offense really start to take over and find its footing a little bit. Really in the second half, Miami had three drives all back-to-back-to-back, all went for scores, and they really just pushed the ball at will. Really, I think a lot of Canes fans wanted to see that new offense, what it looked like. And like you mentioned, that shortened offseason, would it be put together, would it be rolling? You know, for me, my expectations were it was going to be a slow start, maybe the first few games to get it under them. But it seemed like that second half, they really started clicking. And maybe, you know, they finally, you know, found a little bit of an identity with that 337 game rushing yards in that game. So it was nice to see to start. I know a lot of Canes fans it's hard to keep expectations in check, but you got to remember this is a team coming off that 6-7 ugly season, shutout loss to Louisiana Tech. So it was an encouraging start for me, and I think they're only going to keep building from here.
I agree. I looked at it the way you did in the first half. I was at the game up in the press box talking to a few people, and you know, you kind of like felt, oh, geez, not again, when they would, you know, when they would do this right or do this wrong, you kind of, but you know, I don't think, first of all, we gave UAB enough credit. I think they were a good physical football team. Did they have screaming Power Five kids? Maybe not, but they were there to play just like Central Michigan was last year. And no matter what record Miami has, you know as well as I do, Stefan, everybody wants to beat the U at all costs. If they come in here sky high, they're going to play the game. The only criticism that I may have had in the first half was not targeting the tight ends. They targeted Brevin Jordan one time, kind of forced it in there like in the second quarter. Because of the, and the only reason I say that is if you look at Rhett Lashley's past, Louis, especially last year, you saw him target tight ends 7 and 8 times a game. Other than that, you know, the offensive line did what they had to do. It's still a work in progress. You're still looking for that receiver to come into the huddle and said, hey, listen, I was open. Throw it to me. But I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot of receivers as we did. And the offensive line, like I said, you know, I mean, it's still not going to be enough to beat a Clemson or to beat a true power team, but it certainly is a work in progress. What were your thoughts about the offense?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, first off, I think you really got to look at the offensive line, and that really just drives how the rest of the offense can perform. I was agreeing with you. I think the offensive line still had some holes. Maybe a little bit better last year. And again, that second half, they really picked it up. But they really struggled in the first half to create some running room for those talented backs at Miami. And you know, you saw what guys like Jalen Knight and Cam Harris, Don Chaney can do when they're given some space. And all Miami really has to do is find that cohesive five up front to really make some room for them. So hopefully they can build on that going forward. Also, the tight end aspect, I think, I mean, you know, of course, they didn't target Brevin too much. Again, in the second half, though, he made two huge plays, catching runs, really showing off what he can do and why he's so highly regarded in that top tight end in the country conversation. But I think they just really didn't want to show too much on offense. I think they were kind of keep it simple in this game. They still have that advantage of, teams have not seen this offense at Miami, Rhett Lashley's offense at Miami. So going into that ACC opener, maybe keep it simple. I really don't think they ran more than 10 plays, and especially the passing game, the route tree was very limited in terms of they were really just going up top, going deep, or throwing short slants, quick passes. So I think in the passing game especially, it was really limited. And, hopefully, you see a little bit more going into Louisville next week.
Yeah, you're going to have to, I think, because Louisville is a very much improved team with a really good coach. Satterfield's done a great job wherever he's been, App State, and now at Louisville. Defensively, a little bit concerned with the secondary. They were kind of picking on Ivy for a while there. Then they started getting a little bit more pass rush. I think the front seven's got some really a lot of positives to it. We saw that, just because Brooks didn't start, he was in there like five plays into the game. So I think that's kind of overblown when you're not picked as a starter. I think that, talk about the secondary, because that's kind of a concern going into this week, especially because Louisville can throw the ball around a little bit.
Yeah, and I think really what UAB was doing, and I think that's really the way to beat Miami. I think that's really the blueprint. You've seen that in the past few years, is you got to neutralize that pass rush from the front seven, a lot of quick passes, and try to pick on that secondary who maybe they're a very physical secondary, but maybe a little bit lacking in the speed department. You saw a guy, DJ Ivy, got beat a couple times on the edge and for long plays and especially the touchdown pass. And already you saw Coach Blake Baker this morning talking about after practice that DJ Ivy and a guy like Tecori Couch are going to be now competing for that starting job. And so Ivy, he may not be in the starting lineup coming up against Louisville. So there's a little bit of struggles there. I did like what I saw from Al Blades over at the other cornerback spot, especially you saw him on at one pass breakup. He ran stride for stride with a UAB receiver and almost had an interception. I think he's developed really well. He's always had those physical tools, but it was just about to keep developing that technique. I think he's taking that next step. And I thought the safeties actually played pretty well. There wasn't a lot of busts back there. and they came up for run support. And you got to like those three guys, Bubba Bolden, Amari Carter, and Gerben Hall, all guys that have played a lot at Miami. Well, at least Bubba Bolden, his first year was last year, but a lot of experience back there, and they really trust those safeties. They're hoping that the safeties can kind of cover up for maybe a little bit lacking in the depth at a cornerback position.
Kicking game, wow. Makes a difference when you get four extra points, a field goal, and five touchbacks.
Yeah, very, very different for Miami on special teams. Gotta love that. And especially making chip shot field goals. I mean, I thought I was watching a totally different team out there.
Yeah, no doubt. So obviously, Miami's going to improve from week to week. How do you see this week's game against Louisville?
Louisville, they've gotten a little bit of off-season hype in the ACC. They were preseason ranked number two in the Atlantic before the division kind of became a non-issue, and ACC is all now one conference essentially this year with no divisions. But they were getting a little preseason hype. They got a very experienced quarterback, running back, and of course Tutu Atwell from down here. I know you know him real well, Larry. Right. Just an explosive wide receiver on the outside for them. And you saw him against Miami last year. He took a short pass and took it to the house. So a lot of speed on Louisville, and they're going to be a team to contend with. But also remember, Miami dominated Louisville last year with Jaren Williams and Dan Enos, who are both now gone from the offense, and had a really rough year with almost everyone else. So Louisville was the one team they really put it on them. Jaren Williams had that record six touchdown performance. So, the thought process is Miami is getting better on offense this year, and they should pick up right where they left off at Louisville, and should be a win for the Miami Hurricanes if they stick to the game plan and do what they should.
Good stuff. Stephan, people want to check your workout. How do they do it this week as you prepare for the Louisville and also follow recruiting?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, go to canesinsight.com. We're always up on the latest recruiting, team news, and the message boards, always going crazy with the latest fan takes and stuff. It's a real fun environment over there. Encourage you to check it out. Also, go to at Canes Insight on Twitter. We're always posting content there as well. And, just join us. We will love to have you. It's always Canes all the time.
Good stuff. We'll catch up with you a lot during the season. Hopefully, we'll have some good news along the way. Stephan, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, Larry. Glad to see the show's back.
Yep, me too. Thanks so much. Stephan Adams joining us from Canes Insight. Obviously, big win for University of Miami. I think people kind of underestimated UAB, not to say that they're the national title contenders, but certainly a team with a little bit of pushback, and obviously that's important. Before we talk to Hector Clavijo from Champagnat Catholic, who opened up his season last week against three-time defending state champions Chaminade Madonna. And obviously that is a program that looked really good the other night, primed for a run at a fourth consecutive title, a fifth consecutive trip to state. Head coach Damian Jones is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and we're off and running, aren't we?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yes, we are. Ready or not.
Yeah, ready or not. You and I talked a lot during this pandemic. We kind of, from the beginning all the way back through the April and May and June throughout the summer, and it kind of looked a little bit bleak, but things started to ease a little bit. You found a way to take some precautions to kind of keep everybody safe. I know your administration 100% behind keeping everybody safe. Your opening game had no fans. The kids socially distanced as much as they could. Media only. Talk about that. Talk about getting ready. You know, people don't realize, but getting ready for that Friday night opener last week took a lot of doing.
Absolutely. It was kind of crazy with just all the media, and very weird not having any fans. And so watching these NFL games, I know they mock, the noise in the background, but I kind of get where they're at. But they're getting paid good money to do what they're doing. But it's tough. It's tough for the kids. And the kids said it, they miss hearing that noise and, kind of that encouragement on, why you playing football. So, yeah, my administration helped us out a great deal in, you know, taking the proper steps to making sure we even had a chance on playing football this year.
And a nice opener. I mean, you know, good, probably as good an opener as you can get locally. Two teams that have, as I said to Coach Clavejo before, two teams that have won five state titles in the last 3 years, which is not too bad. Between the two of you, good atmosphere. Kids kind of know one another, you know, from, you know, 7-on-7s and also some of the camps that they attend. Your main attraction, obviously, Thad Franklin on his way to the University of Miami, kind of looked in mid-season form, carrying that ball, running hard. Talk about him and how much he's matured over the last couple of years, because I think people see his talent, but they don't know that he's kind of matured quite a bit over the last couple of years as a person.
As a person and as a football player, him being there as a freshman, sitting behind Sean Shivers, who's at Auburn now, it was kind of tough for him. He was kind of immature, but these last 2 years, he's grown up so much. Just being a leader now, where before he wouldn't say much, and he's still really a shy kid, but he's superb when it comes to now lead, you know, being positive. So I'm very proud of him.
Young football team. Again, I mean, I know last year you were telling me that this year you're going to have some kids that are going to need to step up. And obviously, looking at your offensive line, a lot of young faces on it. I mean, we're talking sophomore young faces. Defensively, you start a lot of, you know, kids that who are welcome to be in the roles that they are at, but they're young. Talk about this team, because I think by the time, you know, the middle of the season rolls around, a lot of these kids are going to get more games under their belt and they're going to be more confident. Talk about that.
Hey, absolutely, Larry, because that's what I'm hoping, because we do have a lot of positions right now with a lot of underclassmen. With some of them, it was their first action, you know. And going into this game, I expected it to be sloppy, you know. Just like you say, we get kind of rolling around game 4 or 5. So that game, I expected going in to be sloppy, and, you know, we did some things well and some things that we have to work on. And, you know, going in, I knew that, and coming out of it, that's what I thought that it would be. And we just got to, you know, get in the lab and get back to work and correct some things. And just hope these freshmen and sophomores kind of grow up a little bit quickly.
No time to kind of rest. You have another big one this week, American Heritage Plantation, always a competitive team, always a competitive game. And they're a lot of in the same mode as you. They have a lot of new faces that they have a test, new quarterback situation for them, a couple of other new faces. Talk about that. I mean, are we going to have some fans in the stands this week? Is it going to be limited or what?
Yeah, it's 25%. So we are going to have fans this week. So it should be a little better atmosphere. I'm looking forward to this week. But, yeah, this is another great team. Pat does a great job over there every year. So expecting a dogfight, as usual.
Yep. And your schedule, is there a couple of openings still you have to wait and see who's going to be playing towards the end of the season?
We're at 7 games right now, and we're kind of going to stick to that just because of the way the COVID-19 is going right now, the budget, you know, because now we have to, when we travel, instead of taking 2 or 3 buses, now we have to take 6 buses to make sure that we're properly social distancing, and it kind of, you know, weighs heavy on the budget a little bit. So, you know, it kind of, we're going to stay right there at the 7 and just try to get better from there.
Good stuff. Damian Jones, head coach at Chaminade Madonna, 3-time defending state champions. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time on this busy night, and we'll certainly, you know, we'll see you plenty this year.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Damian Jones, head coach at Chaminade Madonna, obviously, listen, what else can you say? They've been the state 4 years in a row. They've won it the last 3. Got to go in as an odds-on favorite to get there again. I'm excited about that. You're listening to the South Florida High School Sports Radio Show, powered by AutoNation. AutoNation doesn't just sell cars and trucks for less. They also buy them for a lot more. AutoNation will buy your car for cash. Appraisers will pay you top dollar for your vehicle online and in-store. You'll get a check on the spot that you can deposit it. And during these times, that's music to everybody's ears. So why sell your car anywhere else? Turn your car into cash today at AutoNation. And if you need service like we did and got over the AutoNation service tech experts, they're ready to help you. Oil change, tires, batteries, collision repair, and a lot more. Whatever your service needs, AutoNation tech experts can do it all and all for less. Plus, they sanitize every vehicle, which is probably worth the price of admission to get there because you want a clean car when you leave, so you stay safe at all times. To schedule service, appraise your car, or for the AutoNation store nearest you, visit AutoNation.com. When we come back, we wrap things up. Head coach Doug Socia from Kaiser University is next. And we're back to wrap things up with you on a Monday evening on South Florida High School Sports Radio Show, powered by AutoNation. Thanks so much to Damian Jones for joining us. Now we pay our attention up to Palm Beach, and certainly one of the big stories happening over the last couple of years. Kaiser University head coach Doug Socia is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
You got it, Blue. Thanks for having me on.
Big win to start this. Is this third year, right? This is the third year of this. It's amazing how fast it's come along and nationally rated to begin the season. I know you don't worry about that until the end. Talk about this building process, because it's certainly been everything that you've expected along the way.
Yeah, it certainly has. You know, we're obviously blessed and happy to be playing in this crazy year that we're having here in 2020. But yeah, the process has been, you know, it's been fast, to be honest with you. Obviously, it's been, you know, we're playing our third year, and you know, it's been a step by step process and getting the building built and building this football team and our roster and getting that thing in place and, you know, recruiting and retaining. And then, you know, we've graduated some kids, and obviously that's the main goal is to graduate a bunch of guys here soon, probably in December and into next year. But yeah, it's been an awesome experience trying to build this program and continuing to do that. And we've got great support and great leadership, and, you know, Kaiser University certainly knows how to do education, and obviously athletics is fairly new for them, but obviously they're trying to do that at a very high level as well.
And because of your experience and, you know, your knowledge of all the entire state, you haven't just kept it in the Palm Beach area. I know that you go into South Florida in the Dade and Broward County. You go up into the Treasure Coast and the Space Coast. And, you know, because this is a brand now that's obviously selling itself, nationally rated first year. You guys hit the ground running last year. You're standing toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the country. This year, because of COVID, you probably didn't get a chance to play the schedule that you'd want. But nevertheless, it's getting these kids exposure. It's keeping this program in the spotlight. The camps that you do so well, was, you know, you couldn't hold them this year. And I know you love that more than anything, because you get kids on your campus, your coaches kind of get to work with a lot of the kids. But you did some unique things, like you did a lot of online things, Zoom calls, Zoom instruction. Talk about that, because that was a really good idea.
Yeah, certainly. You know, that was the way of the world this year in 2020. And obviously, right when this thing shut down in March, you know, we went immediately into Zoom calls, and you know, we did a lot as a coaching staff, you know, with our football team. Then we got into some Zoom fitness about a month into it, actually having these guys work out in front of us on the camera, and that really paid off as we got back here in the summer. But you know, even as a coaching staff, the Zoom clinics and research, and we really took advantage of this unprecedented time, and I think our coaches did a really good job of, you know, just trying to develop and making the best of what we were dealing with.
Now, obviously, the season's here. You're playing. You opened up with a win over Florida Memorial in their first game in over 60 years. And obviously, you know what Coach Ice Harris is going through. It's definitely a growing part of the program, especially when you start right off the bat like he has, like you did. It's never an easy situation. But you take a look at how far you guys have come. When people are talking top teams in the country, NAIA teams, they're looking at you. You're, as I saw, I believe you were ninth rated to begin the season. When you look at it, and like I said, you've been around football for a long time, whether it be at the high school, college, the NFL level for a minute or two. Talk about that experience, how much it's played into helping build this program.
Well, I think the big thing is just my familiarity and with South Florida. Obviously, we know South Florida has the best talent in the country, and you know there's certainly enough down here for everybody, and we're all battling. And the Florida Memorial is a new program, and you got St. Thomas down there, and you've got Ave Maria and Southeastern Weber Warren. There's a lot of teams that are trying to get their guys out of South Florida. So I just think with what we have a profile, what we want to recruit. We have an area, obviously, we're going to start right here in the 561, get down into Broward, down into Dade, and then up our coast, and then we'll head west a little bit, and then, you know, we'll spot recruit some of those other places. But I think the relationships that we have in the state and the coaches that I've hired are excellent recruiters, and they're excellent people, and, you know, we treat our kids a certain way, and they know they're going to be challenged and pushed to get an education and push to be the best that they can be. So I just think the overall familiarity with the state, our relationships, and just our profile of what we want to recruit and the culture we're trying to build here is what separates us.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously your schedule, like we were talking to just a little bit ago with Coach Reichel at St. Thomas University, and you know they have to play a couple of teams twice this year, and they got you in the second game, so it's obviously going to be a challenge for everybody. But I know you're excited. The kids look really good. I told you I watched that on streaming on Saturday. Yeah, I mean, I was excited for you guys, and certainly, again, Coach, congratulations on what's going on. You know, we'll have you on again, and we'll follow you like you're our own team.
Appreciate it. Sounds good, man. We appreciate everything you guys do, especially you, Blue.
All right, Coach. Thanks so much. Best of luck. We'll follow you again. Take care.
Sounds good. Take care.
Good stuff. Well, what a way to end a first show back. We started this thing all the way back around 6:20 with Eric Henry from FIU and ended up with Doug Socia. Can't say enough. Great job, Dan Day, back in the studio. He does an awesome job always. Don't forget, WQAM.com is the place to go to listen to all the interviews this evening. We thank so much Auto Nation for being the vehicle to get us going in 2020. Joe Rose Show, 7:20 on Saturday. We're back here in this seat next Monday. Thanks so much. We'll take care and have a great week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.